Welcome to the Holistic Nootropics Podcast. My name is Eric, the Holistic A-Hole. With me today is my good friend, Dr. Alexandra Pedroza. Dr. Pedroza, how are you doing today?
I am doing great and healthy and vibrant.
So. Yes. Very important. Thank you so much for joining me. For those who aren't familiar with Dr. Pedroza, she is a chiropractor here in Puerto Rico. She's also a certified functional medicine doctor, and she is a professor of clinical diagnosis at the chiropractic school in the University of Medicine in Bayamón, which is the only chiropractic school in a medical university in the entire United States. So that is awesome. And so I guess let me start with that. What is that like to have a chiropractor school in a medical university? Because those you typically don't see those two things together.
Correct. So that was a challenge at the beginning. There was a chiropractor and a medical doctor that they were in a conversation. I was in the table in a restaurant and we started talking about chiropractic and medicine and back pains and all of this. And he's part of this university. And he was like, why don't we build a chiropractic program here? So that's how everything started. And I was, since the beginning, I put my, my little brain there. So I built up 7 classes of the curriculum. So it was very, very nice to be part of it. And now it's amazing to be part of the school. So I'm teaching there right now. There's the second class just started. So it's going good.
That's amazing. Because as far as medical school goes, and I think that's, a lot of the criticism of the modern medical system is the fact that it misses a lot of the things that I think a practice like chiropractic presents, which is not just looking at a symptom of the problem, but kind of looking at how the whole body works together to really influence the function of these specific parts of the body.
Correct. And that's one of the main focus of this school, that they wanted to build a chiropractic school that was based on research and integrative care with wellness and holistic approach. So these new chiropractors, they're gonna graduate with an integrative concept already. And the medical doctors are gonna be used to the chiropractic work inside the school. So this new era of chiropractors and medical doctors, they're going to be out there helping patients to be treated as a whole, integrating each service, because medical doctors are necessary and chiropractors are necessary as well. We deal with different approaches to the health, and that's okay, So these students are getting along very well on learning from, each other, what I can do to help you, what I can do to help this patient and co-manage a situation with integrative care. So that's pretty amazing because now doctors, medicals and chiropractors are going to be focusing on the whole perspective of health, which is so important right now.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important. And that's, I think, in my opinion, the failure of the mainstream medical system, which is there is no integrative approach. There is no like functional perspective of the patient, I think I know that doctors, like a general practitioner, only has at most 15 minutes to see a patient. And I know I've heard in a lot of practices, and maybe this is, documented in the medical literature, but 10 minutes with a patient. And how in the world can you possibly try to understand why a symptom is presenting in a patient with 10 minutes?
There is no way.
There's no way, right? No way. It's like, I mean, even if you have a doctor that understands the chiropractic method or understands like the functional medicine perspective, at least in that 10 minutes, they're viewing it not as much of like, okay, you have a sore throat, here's a pill for that, but more like you have a sore throat. Okay, well, that could be a number of different reasons of distress somewhere in the body. And I think that's, in my perspective, that's what's missing from the medical system.
Totally agree. Because, you know, right now, if we try to judge every single medical doctor, it's wrong on us because they've been educated that way. You know, most medical schools, they're based on algorithms and, you know, symptom-based approach. So you have this is the line of correction. You know, they're not trained to listen to the patient's story and dedicate time and look beyond, go to the root cause, because the healthcare system is sadly not built that way right now. You know, medical doctors, they're not paid good enough to spend an hour with a patient, which usually that's what, you know, that's basically the first time I see a patient, I don't spend less than 60 minutes with a patient. There's no way. There's so much story behind what brings the patient to my office. So just listening to that first part, it takes me 20 minutes, the minimum.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's the story, right? It's the story of how you got there. It's like, there's always a reason, right? There's always something, even if it's genetics or, you know, like that's part of the story. That's part of the blueprint.
Yeah. Genetics, environment, you know, the social component, communities. There's a lot of patients. And right now we're going to be seeing that the aftermath of this situation. You know, we need human contact. We need to exchange things. There's a lot of people that they spend time without good interactions with people, because it's not the same to go out and work and talk with your coworkers than to spend time, quality time outside with your family or friends, enjoying a good conversation, enjoying a good dinner, or, you know, interactions with life. So the story of every single human being is going to be different, because we interact different with life. We interact different with food. We interact different with how we think, what we do in our day-to-day life. So it got, for example, in a chiropractic perspective, I can have a low back pain coming from a mechanical component because these patients suffer a trauma and it's an acute injury. Or I can have a patient that is suffering from a long-standing low back pain that it may be coming from a trauma when he was a child and, you know, it never was treated. And there's been a lot of things going on top of that trauma. So you have to listen to the story of the patient.
Yeah. I know in my training as a nutritional therapist, there's this really interesting phenomenon in the back with the adrenal glands. And you can actually look at the length of a person's feet, of their legs. And if like one foot is shorter than the other, like if one leg is shorter than the other, I know I've been to a chiropractor and they, you know, they did a physical adjustment on me, but that can also be from adrenal fatigue, because there's something with the adrenal gland actually pulls on the nerve of the legs when it's fatigued, when it's not making enough adrenal hormones, because the body is just looking for resources to use to function properly. And then when you're thinking about that, it's of course you have to think back to, well, what's going on in your life that would lead you to this kind of adrenal fatigue, this kind of adrenal exhaustion? And it's always going to come back to some emotional thing, stress thing.
Stress.
And you go even further back in that story. And what could have been, okay, well, I've got back pain, here's a pill for that. Well, it turns into, well, I've got back pain. Well, maybe there's an adjustment you need to make in your life Maybe there's a certain food that's stressing your body out more. Correct. It could be a whole range of things.
Mm-hmm. So it can be your husband or your wife. Sometimes it happens in my office. Totally. So yes, definitely. That's why from a chiropractic perspective, I decided to practice as a holistic chiropractor. You know, sometimes that leg length that you just described, most chiropractors, we look at difference in leg length because different techniques has different, it's a neurological response, let's say it that way, that the body responds neurologically. So you get an imbalance of the body. That's what it's showing in a short leg. So you as a chiropractor, you have to find what's causing the imbalance, you know, and fix that. So with my holistic approach, I started looking beyond just the manual techniques I had for the spine, because you can employ adjustments in different other structures in the body. So I looked into a technique called biogeometric integration. It's called BGI. It involves a lot of metaphysics and sacred geometry inside the technique. But with that technique, I can look into organs and tissue like the fascia, ligaments, tendons, you know, organs, the, how's the geometry of the body distorted, and you know, how you can employ adjustments in different structures. So you don't, I don't only adjust the spine. I adjust the spine and go a little bit beyond it. That's what the body needs.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I've heard of this like idea of sacred geometry, but I don't really, like, I'm in a Facebook group called Sacred Geometry, and sometimes if I'm just bored of the news, I'll just peek in there because the things people are talking about are so, I mean, mind-bendingly fascinating. Yeah. That I would get lost in that group for hours if I didn't physically remove myself. Can you explain what that is and kind of how it pertains to what you do?
Okay. So basically, sacred geometry, it goes towards the root of life. Okay, so everything in life, this is a very deep topic, so I'm gonna try to explain as simple as I can do it, you know, so it can relate to what we're talking. So sacred geometry is like geometry in school: triangles, squares, circles, and how everything in life gets a shape in geometry and how that shape relates to other shapes. Okay, and these can go towards religion. You can look it up in towards religion or science, you know. There's, so I've been studying the religion part of it because I'm very interested. I like the, you know, the spiritual things behind the physical thing, because I like science and I like energy as well. I can understand both. So I'm very curious about the spiritual thing, but I try not to, let me see how to say this. I try not to explain that to the patient. I just go into what the geometry goes into science for what I'm doing at the moment with that patient. Okay, so let's put it, when you conceive, you know, you have the egg and the sperm, and they join together, you get a spark of light in that moment, right? That spark of light, from a philosophy standpoint, it's what runs through your spine. It's the innate potential of energy running through your spine and the whole universe. So our bodies are designed, when that sperm and egg joins together and they start dividing, into forming a human body, they divide into different geometry shapes. So the whole body is integrated in triangles, front, back, sagittal, you know, different planes, and this type of points of the triangle, from a chiropractic standpoint, you can adjust one point and move another point of that triangle with a single adjustment. You know, so this is a full, we can get into this topic by itself, but basically from a science standpoint, is that since conception, the human body is a geometry design. So with a chiropractic adjustment, instead of looking at different body parts, I can start looking at different triangle parts and get those triangles to be not tensing another triangle, you know, getting all that tone and energy and everything into balance. So the body can manifest health and well-being in a more aligned state.
Right.
Say it that way.
Yeah,
I don't know if I got, this is a very, you know, deep topic, so I don't know if I explain what you ask.
No, I understand. And I think you did a great job of really explaining that, because I do know that this can go into a direction that, you know, this could turn into a 5-hour podcast. I totally get that.
Totally.
But the kind of basic idea I understand is that, I mean, when you shift or when you move one part of the body, that's going to affect another part of the body in
Correct.
a different way, because Correct. The body's dynamic. And it's Correct. Almost like, is it like the chaos theory or the butterfly effect or whatever? It's like, I mean, if a butterfly flaps its wings in Puerto Rico, then, you know, that affects the way corn grows in Nebraska somewhere. Obviously.
Do you know the term tensegrity model?
What is it?
Tensegrity model.
Tensegrity?
Yeah.
No,
Do
I don't.
Know
what is that?
Do you know how a dome is built? You know that a dome has different... you know the structure of a dome? I don't know if I'm... this is going to get deeper if I go into this topic.
Let's do it. we're already bought in. Let's go. This is what we do here. We get crazy. Dome, so, I'm with you.
Okay, so a tensegrity model, basically, if I had it here, it was... So basically, one, that's what you're explaining. Like, imagine it's a circle. It's with different strings that this part is attached to this part. So if I put pressure on this part of on the superior part, and this stick is joined to this one here, this part of the here is gonna be with more pressure as well. So if I release the pressure of the structure up here, this can go into a normal state as well. So basically, when you manipulate an area of the body, you can employ a change in the structure, even though at a cellular level, because cells, it's what made of an organ or a tissue in the body. So if I'm employing a release of energy or a release of tone pressure in that area, I'm going to be affecting the cell as well.
Sure.
So it's
that
more
makes,
like
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So just to kind of like the way I'm looking at this in terms of how does this affect the body, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, if somebody walks into your office and they're complaining of migraines, let's say, okay, you could even look at, well, let's see how your feet, let's check the angle of your feet, because a lot of people have like duck walking, you know, and then that affects the ankles, which affects the knees, which affects the hips, which goes up the spinal cord and affects the brain. Is that kind of like what you're talking about?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's like that. I mean, to me, that makes sense. And that's why I get so interested in like what you do as far as like chiropractic and like the way the body moves, because I think me personally, you know, one of my biggest breakthroughs in my own mental health, because I mean, I deal with a lot of anxiety, but I've been able to kind of like keep it together. And of course, you know, depression and that sort of things, but I don't let it eat me up. But one of the biggest things, biggest difference makers was when I started doing yoga and I started really focusing on posture. And I never realized that I slouch, that I have a pretty nasty slouch. And when I started really focusing on straightening my back and walking upright and notice having that kind of mindfulness connection of when my slouch would start coming in, I started to notice that's when the anxiety and the depression would kick in. And as long as I kept my posture up straight, not to say that this is like perfect, you know, but it is a great place to start, where if you can keep your eye level at the horizon or above the horizon, then you can start to really change the emotions you feel.
Correct. You know, the human spine is the connection of the nervous system towards the whole body. You know, you have the brain, the central nervous system is composed of the brain, spinal cord, right? And all the nerves that goes to your arms and legs, that's the peripheral nervous system, where everything comes out of the core of the center. So if you have any change in the structure, you're in the you know, posture wise, let's say you are slouching, you are bending the bone, but the nervous system that is inside the bone, the spinal cord and the nerve, they're slouching as well. So you're decreasing the capacity of the functioning of that nervous system. So your brain function, basically when you slouch, you're decreasing oxygen into your brain. Mm-hmm. So persons that have like depression or sleep issues or any kind of mental or, you know, brain conditions, they're going to be more affected by posture.
Yeah.
And stress affects the posture so much, so, so much. And you don't notice, because every single stressor that comes into you start to... to store that stress information in your body. So I hear patients telling me like, yeah, I know I'm slouch, but I can't straight myself, you know, I can't get straight. And it's because they've been with so much stressors into that the whole, they're inflexible. So there's no way that they're going to be back straight. There's no blood flow going into the tissues as well. So everything starts to degenerate in a higher rate.
Yeah.
That's something very important, because a lot of people, they think that they look young and healthy on the inside. And when I look at an x-ray or an MRI, they're like, what? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm 80 years old on my inside. And it happens. It happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you hold so many emotions in your back, in your shoulders and your hips, hips, especially. I mean, it's like my kind of personal, like, kind of physical goal for the last year has been my squat. It's been like trying to get down in like a really deep squat, and I'm finally there. Like, it still hurts a lot to hold, but man, when I hold a squat and I try to do this for like 10 minutes, I can't do it for 10 minutes straight, but you know, 10 minutes over the course of like down in a squat, getting up slowly like an 80-year-old man and then going back down, and it's torture. But when I get through that 10 minutes, it's like, I really feel this sense of calm and this sense of just almost like relief in a way.
Yeah, it happens to me. You know, I store a lot of emotions in my hips. So every time I go to a yoga class, every time I do a hip opener, that's the challenge. I know that's going to be like, oh my God, this part of my body. Every person stores in different areas. And basically, there's a tissue that holds on a lot of emotions, which is called the fascia. Have you heard this term, right?
Yeah.
So the fascia, we are hold up our whole body. It has fascia lines. So our emotion, the fascia is full of water, and emotions, they travel in water. That's why when you feel anxious or you sweat, or if you feel sad, you cry. You know, emotions, they flow in water. So the tissues that has the most water capacity, they're going to store a lot of emotions in there. So the joints, they have cartilage, and the cartilage, they has water. So yeah, hips, shoulders, they tend to carry a lot of emotions as well.
Yeah, and this is why Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like as you were talking, I just had the thought, because I've heard this a lot, and it's like sitting is the new smoking, you know? It's like people who just sit so much, and people sit a lot, you know? Granted, mm-hmm. I do see the rise of the standing desk, which I think is amazing, and I wish I had like a really nice one. But the standing desk helps so much, because especially for people who are stuck at work for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, or working from home or whatever it is, you know, it's like when you spend a third of your day in this position that hurts your health as much as smoking, of course you're going to have mental health issues. Of course you're going to feel emotional a lot, because you're just not actually moving the fascia and moving the water in your body around, and you're not getting the movement that your body actually needs to physically breathe enough to give your brain oxygen to make you feel, you know, the good feels that we want in the day.
Correct. And that's something you said, the word. It's not the exercise that keeps you healthy. It's the movement. We are designed to move. We are not designed to sit at a desk, and we are not designed to be standing here at a desk. It's better the standing desk, because you get to, you know, you don't get that sitting position all day, but you are built to move. The human body is designed for it. So some patients that they spend more than 6 to 8 hours in a computer, I suggest that they buy a little trampoline as well, and they put it in the office, so they can sit, stand, and jump as well. So mm-hmm. take breaks at least 5 minutes and jump around, so your whole fluids in the body can circulate, and then, you know, that's going to make you more productive as well at the end run. You know, because sometimes a lot of patients as well, they sit at a computer or they stand at the desk and they don't drink water. That's another thing. You know, you need to move and you need to hydrate, because I see a lot of, spine conditions in young adults, like desiccated disc, the disc in between the vertebrae, they're made of water as well. So if your body is dehydrated, your body's going to start taking the water out of what it can find in the body. And most people, they have desiccated this because they don't like to drink water. So it's good. The whole body is like 88% made water. So we live in a tropical island, and that's another thing. Like in the island, we have a lot of humidity. So because of our receptors in the skin, our body, we don't get that thirsty sensation that much. So we have to consciously be aware, be mindful that we have to drink certain, I recommend at least half of your body weight in ounces of water. So you can at least be like peaceful that your body is getting water in it, because some patients, they may need more depending on the activities that they do. You know, yeah. And the brain and the heart consumes a lot of water. And if you're doing a lot of computer work, you're using your brain a lot. So you need to hydrate.
Yeah. So do you here in Puerto Rico, do you see a lot of, dehydration? And when you address that with a patient, do you see improvements in their health?
Totally. Like, you can see that almost immediately if they do it correctly. And I notice, because I notice in the skin, I notice in how the tissue is pliable and not pliable. I notice if the patient is dehydrated. So when they start drinking water, everything changes. You know, the tone in the tissue, the pliability, the flexibility. They, most patients that are very dehydrated, they don't sleep well. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't like water, but they don't sleep at night as well. So suddenly they start getting adjusted. They start drinking water. They start taking like oxygen breaks. And suddenly they start sleeping without, oh my God, now I can sleep. And it's like, it's the perfect formula. It's not just one thing. You know, you have to incorporate all this wellness lifestyle. This is the lifestyle that you start building and learning. You know, that's the thing. Like, why do I need to drink water? Because most people, they think like, and what's the water source? That's the other thing that I tell my patients. Like, what's the quality? Right now, we have to think about that word in everything. You have to think about quality of water, quality of air, quality of food, quality of service as well. So we're getting into this era of, we have to learn about what health is. So we can put, you know, we can get into these learning new strategies to build a lifestyle that will sustain us. Not to just survive in this time, we need to start thriving as humanity.
Yeah.
Because if we keep surviving, you know, that's good. We're going to be surviving into fear and malnutrition and diseases. We need to start thriving as a human race, you know, to, so we can get into that, you know, surpass that humane potential that we have. And health is the first thing. We have to take control of our own health, be our own healers. And I believe in that. You can learn how to be your own healer. And just, you know, there's like you and me that we offer. We are key components into these, into the tools that a patient can have, because we have tools for them, but you have to maintain those tools home. You have to create a lifestyle out of it.
Yeah. I think you hit on a couple really interesting things there. You know, one of which is the idea of quality. And, you know, people, I'd say most people say, okay, I need to drink water. Well, I mean, I'm drinking, you know, like 3 cups of coffee and I'm drinking, you know, a couple sodas. That has water, right? So I'm getting hydrated. But even when you say, okay, well, I guess I'll cut that and I'll drink tap water. And I know here in Puerto Rico, there's some big issues with the tap water. Specifically when you start messing, when you start getting things like high levels of lead and plastics and cadmium in the water, that actually has neurological direct effects, right? I mean, these things lead to all these neurological disorders. And, you know, you see people all the time who have these issues like anxiety or even like schizophrenia and or bipolar. And they don't know that it might actually be the constituents of the water or whatever they're eating that has these metals and these chemicals in them that actually directly, you know, sabotage the function of the brain.
Correct. We don't think about that because sometimes we don't think about what we don't see. It's like this virus. Everybody's afraid of something that we don't see and it's there, you know? The water, it's clear. So most people, they're like, this doesn't have anything. But all the particles that are in the water, you know, they're getting into your system. And sometimes these kinds of heavy metals, they get stored in different tissues of the body. Mm-hmm. And for periods and periods of this, you've been drinking the whole tap water for your whole life. So you may be full of lead in your body and you may be experiencing a lot of neurological conditions and issues that you've been complaining to every single doctor you've been seen, and they're everybody's like, you're okay, nothing is wrong with you. And you're like, I'm not crazy, I'm feeling bad because I heard these stories in the past. They're like, I've seen every single patient, everybody tell me I'm fine, but I'm not feeling well. And when you look beyond, they're full of heavy metals in the body. You know, they're toxic, and these are toxins in the body. And so, yes, it's something to think about. Water filtration for your house, you know, purifiers, because you in the water in Puerto Rico, I don't want to talk politics here because it's not the forum to do that, but we have challenges in quality things in the island. So one of the things is like right now, we're talking about a topic that the government is not thinking about that. So probably they're just putting a filtration to pass the legal component, but they're not implementing filtration system to maintain a health of the whole Puerto Rico population. So it's something that we have to start doing individually in our houses, you know, research a filtration system that works in your house. And you know, it's not just what you ingest. It's about, we have to think about the water that we shower with as well.
Yeah.
Because the first line of defense in our body is our skin. That's something people don't think as well. You know, we have to, everything that the skin absorbs goes into your system. So it's very important. I used to wear a lot of like Victoria's Secret cream and Bath and Body Works, and I don't use that anymore because you know you've noticed that they smell so great. For them to smell so great and to last that smell on the skin, it has toxin. You know, it has artificial things that you don't want to. You don't want constantly getting into your bloodstream. So I started looking into alternative things to put in my skin as well. So we have to start thinking, going back to basics for everything in the health, the water and the, you know, the air quality. So the air purifiers home, that's something that you can start adding into your environment inside your house. So it's like, wherever you're going to spend the most time of your day, try to get it as much as quality control as you can.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, it's just like totally out of your hands. So that's Correct. Why it's so important to take ownership of your own personal health, because it's like you can only mitigate what you can control, but Exactly. you don't realize that there's so much of this formula out of your control. Like, Mm-hmm. You know, some testing that I run for clients is like the heavy metals hair mineral test Mm-hmm. and a chemicals test and a mold toxicity test. And it's like you said, as a woman, you every day women are, and the numbers are staggering, the billions of dollars that are spent on makeup. And we're talking Yeah. like that real toxic makeup with all these chemicals. I mean, you're putting it on the most absorbable organ in your body, the skin. And Yeah. then you see this explosion of breast cancer numbers and depression and bipolar and all these things that women deal with. And even if you get rid of all that, okay, well, now you also have the chemicals in the air that you can't avoid that no matter where you are, or the chemicals in the building materials that you live in. And I think the craziest one that I'm starting to kind of learn more about, that I'm starting to hear more about is the mold toxicity. And here Yeah. in Puerto Rico, with the hurricanes, there's a lot. And it's and you don't know, like people live in houses that are just, I mean, just mold, you know, hubs. And I mean, you're in a really bad spot because what do? The only thing you can do is just destroy the house and build it back up again. You know, even if you, I think it's remediate the problem, it's still there. Like you can bleach it all you want, but it'll still grow back, especially if it's like that black mold.
You know, in Puerto Rico, that in Condado, we have this building that a lot of people, they live there in Gallery Plaza. you know, Galeri Plaza, where the double tree is. I have three patients that after the yearly thing, they have to move out of the, a year later, they have to move out and sell the apartment because it was full of mold. Like all the walls, in between the walls, everything, they were completely mold. You know, so, and that is very dangerous because they were like, I'm getting sick all the time. I'm getting these allergies. I cannot get rid of these headaches. And it was the mold in the apartment.
Mm-hmm. And that's a nice building too, the
and
Gallery
it's a
Plaza.
Very, yeah, it's a super prime building. So, and but see, it happened after the hurricane.
That's the, that that's like the, that's the, that's the trick of it, you know, because it just, it creeps up on you from all these different directions, and you see it all. I'm sure you see it all the time. People with these just nonstop health issues. It's like, I'm taking all these vitamins, I'm eating right, I'm exercising. Okay. You're doing all of it, but they're like, I just can't get over this skin issue or this, you know, I have these migraines or this stress or whatever it is, or, you know, for different people, it manifests differently. And sometimes it's that mold, and that's just completely out of your control.
Completely. Yeah, and it's very hard to get rid of the mold. And it's hard to get rid of the mold inside the body as well, because there's a lot of women particularly that deals with candida in the in their system. And dealing with this mold in the functional medicine practice is like, oh my goodness.
Oh man.
It's hard.
Yeah. Man, and that to me, this is like one of the most interesting topics in all of functional medicine is candida, fungus, and mold, because it's such a mystery. And there's actually a lot of data on it. I mean, there are studies going back 50, 60 years on fungus and candida. And I think they call it like the not the microbiome, like the phyome or something, like the fungus biome. Because we talk about like the bacteria microbiome, but there's this whole fungus microbiome that plays just as much, if not more of a role than gut bacteria, and how they live in like a symbiotic relationship, and how the fungus, they are so sneaky. They're like when you start trying to like learn about like biofilms and understand things, like they build these little, you know, you were talking about domes, they build these little like domes that they hide in, and this is what keeps them safe from like antibiotics and medicine. And it's why people do this thing where they're like me, I've had these just kind of nagging little skin issues on my hand for years. And, you know, it all kind of goes back to, okay, well, we're telling people to eat, you know, grains and fruits. And I think those things have their places, especially fruits, but sometimes the candida feasts on the sugar. And you might be saying, okay, well, I eat healthy, so why do I have this nagging, and, you know, insert health problem here? And a lot of times it's this candida, and it goes back to the mold issue. And you're just every day breathing in, literally breathing in spores and mushrooms, and it's just going in your body, building these biofilms, hiding out. And so when you take oregano oil or whatever the botanical, or antibiotics, and antibiotics, we can probably safely say a lot of times makes the problem even worse. Again, it goes back to why there's just no easy solution to this.
Yeah, and it's this mold topic is like, I've been researching a lot on it more and more, because I see that the more I deal with like leaky gut or probiotics problem in a patient, the more the fungus in the system. You know, if you have this imbalance in it's, we are creating more toxicity in our bodies, and I think this is creating a more propitious habitat for this fungus, including the stress, like acidic state in the body. I think like it's like a protective thing for them. And we see a lot of, and this is something, this fungus component, we see it in the outside as well, like the animal kingdom, the fungus world, it's so huge, And there's a lot of benefits that you can get from different type of fungus in the environment, and there's different wrong side effects that you get from a fungus. So the same thing is happening to us because we have a habitat for organisms to live inside us and outside. And with this COVID, now that we're talking about fungus and pathogens, with this COVID thing, my hypothesis right now is like, I'm concerned that we've been washing our hands so much, using so many hand sanitizers.
Oh, you were speaking my language, yeah.
Oh my God, we are away from people and away from what creates immunity in us, the outside world. So at the same time that we are isolating ourselves to not get the virus, when we go out, we're not gonna have our full defense system on because we've been killing it. Yeah. We have so many bacterias in our hands that are beneficial for us and inside our bodies as well. So that's something that it's concerning me right now. You know, so many antibacterial, all of this, like, oh my God, we are, you know, beings that are full of pathogens, good pathogens that are going to help us with these bad pathogens. So,
yeah, you know, it's what you said right there. I 100% subscribe to what you said. I have not used any hand sanitizer, and I've had some instances where I've gone to a store and they like there's a grocery store by me and they say, as soon as you walk in, you have to go get hand sanitizer. And I just like walk up to the thing and I just put my hand there and I make like a little motion, like, but I'm not putting that crap on my hand. Mm-hmm. No way. Because exactly what you said, I understand the importance of not using that crap to try to kill a virus that the biology of what's happening with the COVID virus, it doesn't work like that. You know, you can't just kill it because it's not like living. Like, I think people look
it's
at
not
this
a
thing,
living organism.
It's not right. It's not living. It's not a for lack of a better example, it's not an STD, right?
STD,
it's not
sitting. Exactly.
It's not sitting on your hand like, hey, I'm a virus. Hopefully I can make my way in the hand. You know, hopefully I can just sit here on the hand until the person touches their face and then I'll go in and I'll wreak havoc everywhere. That's what people, and I'm so happy to hear like somebody like you like say that, because I've heard so many other like well-respected doctors say the same exact thing. And I've known this for a long time. It just kind of comes back to basic like understanding of, and I'm not a biologist, but I've done a little bit of work to try to understand it. And as soon as you start to understand the microbiome, you understand how important bacteria, even the bad bacteria, because you need the good and the bad to work together. And as soon as you start nuclear bombing that stuff with hand sanitizer and antibiotics and, you know, by antibacterial soap, I mean, you just throw off the whole, you know, community, the whole harmony of bacteria. And not to mention, your body is 10-to-1 bacteria to human cell. You're actually more bacteria than you are human. And so, which is kind of a weird alien thing to think about, but I mean, think about if you're killing off like 1,000% of what actually makes you a functional human, of course you're going to have, you know, going back to what you do, disbalance in the body.
Mm-hmm. That's something that people don't think about it. And it's like when everything of the COVID started, I started looking into the virus per se. What is this virus? What does it do to the body? How does it replicate? What tissue? You know, you have to, this cytokine cascade that happens, it's inflammation in our body. And it happens whenever you get a bad pathogen in your body. You get, these are the calor, rubor, dolor, tumor. These are the basic things that happens after an inflammation response of your body. So instead of focusing on killing this virus, why don't we focus on getting strong, you know, our system stronger, maintaining our gut health, maintaining our, you know, our mental health, with now that we're isolating ourselves, like, okay, I'm going to do the yoga part, but am I going to be eating everything that is coming from the grocery store in a can? Or I maybe start eating more fruits and veggies so I can start building a better immune response if I get this virus in my system. So this basically everybody has been like, you have to get your immune system stronger. But patients are asking me, but what is my immune? What is the immune system? Basically, patients and people out there, they don't know what is the immune system, how you sustain an immune system healthy. So that's something that we as healthcare practitioners, we can focus on educating patients how more on these topics that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
That are going to get us into optimizing our human potential rather than healing everything that surrounds us, good or bad, as a pathogen.
Yeah. And I would imagine, like, for you, probably one of the most discouraging things about being locked down is the fact that so many people are sitting on the couch, watching Netflix, playing video games, eating potato chips, and then they're taking vitamin C, right? Or they're taking elderberry syrup. And it's like, even those things, I mean, you know, you're talking about quality. It's like so much vitamin C, ascorbic acid, is made from GMO corn. And, you know, they come with all of these food colorings and all this stuff. Well, I'm taking my elderberry. There's no way I can get sick. Okay. Well, maybe you don't get the COVID, but then you've got all these other downstream problems that, well, I guess it's good for you because you'll be busy. You'll have plenty of patients. Your office will be very busy in the coming years.
Let's see. I hope that my office becomes busier, but with patients that are willing to take their health into the next level. You know, because I think that this era right now that we're living, as human beings, like, and we as doctors as well, you know, me as a doctor and you in the nutritional part, you know, you cannot rely, like I told you cannot rely on a doctor for you to stay healthy. You have to start taking control. And this new era is to start, you know, you have to start taking control of yourself. Because for what we're seeing, our governments are not helping us to get more freedom and more health and more of all these kind of good things that we enjoy from life. You know, right now we've been deprived from basic things of life. Like, I was in Condado for 2 weeks and I couldn't even walk my dogs.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's something that for me that I'm used to, what makes me happy is nature. And I know for a fact, you know, I need to be in contact with nature. It doesn't matter. I can be isolated from people. I don't mind. But don't get me from walking into the beach and seeing the beach for half an hour, or walking my dogs into a grass so they can do their necessities. You know, that's something that as a human, right, I felt like, oh my goodness, what is going on?
Yeah.
So thank God that I build healthy relationships and meaningful relationships with people that surround me, including my patients, that I had this opportunity to be here. And now I'm learning how to plant, how to take care of bees, how to take care of animals in a farm. So basic things that I don't usually do in the city, but are keeping me busy in these times. And that's something that I need, because in order for me to help patients, I need to be, you know, in a good health state. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm, you know, meditating, yoga, nature, because what are we gonna do?
Yeah. And I think that's a good place to kind of leave it. I think that's so, yeah, you know, interesting and a nice button on this whole thing, which is, if you as a doctor with all of your experience and the ability to understand the different sides of this, you know, you understand Western and you understand integrative medicine, and even you are learning from this. Even you are trying to better your health. You know, it's a practice, yes, right? It's not just something you say, pop the pill and everything's good. You know, it's a practice and you have to work at it every day. So
it's a lifestyle. Like, that's what I tell my patients, like, lifestyle, you build them over years. With every single day, you have habits and you have, you have the 24 hours of a day to create and do different things that becomes habits over a while. So these kinds of habits are going to get you into more of a healthier person or more of a disease-based person. So right now, everybody everybody around the world, they're locked down. So with 21 days, you build a habit. You need only 21 days, and there's people that have been more than 21 days inside a house already. So they're creating habits of isolation. And those habits of isolation, if you can be building up in these times of the day diseases that are going to show up in a few months, in years. So we have, this is the era to be conscious about every single step we take since we wake up. I'm going to do this because this is going to be a benefit for my life. Or I'm not going to do this. I'm going to sustain, like, I know a lot of, you know, that in Puerto Rico, there's a lot of medical cannabis industry going on. So I know.
I'm familiar.
Okay. So
I've seen them around. Yes.
So there's a lot of patients that they're into medical cannabis and they like to smoke the marijuana out of it, you know? So in these times with the COVID, you have to modify those habits into probably a healthier one because you have a pathogen that is going to affect your lung tissues. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's a therapy that you're using, but, you know, you are creating new habits for this new thing that we're living, this is the first time that all humanity have gone through this. Mm-hmm. Wow. So it's new for all of us. So for me, the key in this time is consciousness. That's the word. Being conscious about every single thought, every single action that you do, every single smile, every single movement, every single glass of water. Have to be mindful and conscious about everything, because if you want to live and thrive, that's, I think for me, that's going to be the key. Be mindful and conscious about your habits.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, it's all about the daily practices and the habits and just setting that intention to be healthy, you know?
Correct.
So, Dr. Pedroza, I want to kind of wrap things up here. I certainly appreciate your time. I don't want to take too much of it. I know if the listeners were listening, like I was, I mean, you definitely have a lot of great takeaways from this discussion. If people, I know you're located in Puerto Rico, but if people wanted to connect with you online, you know, maybe shoot you a message about, you know, any kind of help that you can offer, where could somebody find you?
Okay, so right now with all of this, I'm a little bit off social media. But I have my accounts and everything, but I'm going to be building something new. But my website is inspiredhealth.studio. That's the website. It's not a .com. So inspiredhealth.studio. And you can send me an email through dr. That's my personal email address. dr as a doctor. .am. Pedroza@gmail.com. All of my social media accounts, I'm working on it because this new era has been forcing me to get more into the digital world, this is out of my comfort, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm, they've made me teach online right now, and I'm doing this with you and other colleagues. So I'm going to start getting out of my shell as well. So this is good.
Well, we need your voice on social media. We need better voices, more educated people on social media. I'll tell you that much. Well, Dr. Pedroza, again, I really appreciate your time here. I know the listeners and the viewers are going to love this interview. You've definitely dropped us some great knowledge here. And thank you for being on the Holistic Nootropics podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Eric. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely.